Rugby. Rugby is a rough game similar to soccer, believed to have been developed in England in the early 1800s. It is said that a young boy called William Webb Ellis was playing soccer at his school called Rugby School in 1823. And he just picked the ball up and ran it into the goals. And that's apparently where it all started. He forever changed the game and led the way to an entirely new sport. Ever wonder why rugby balls are oval? Hope your food's digested for this one. The first ever rugby balls were made by Richard Lindon, who fashioned it out of pig's bladders and a leather outer casting. Apparently, pig's bladders naturally take on an oval shape. So the first ever rugby balls were bacon-flavored urinal bags. Does that make it edible? In the late 1800s, they were slightly egg-shaped and made from rubber inner tubes. They have evolved to the oval shape of today, as oval balls are easier to catch, hold, and run with. Rugby involves two teams of 15 players each. But there is a variant of rugby called rugby sevens, commonly known as simply sevens, and originally known as seven-a-side rugby, in which teams are made up of seven players playing seven-minute halves instead of the usual 15 players playing 40-minute halves. Rugby sevens tends to be played at a faster pace than rugby 15s, making it one of the most exciting games. In our text today, we are not looking at rugby sevens, but 77s, or what has been translated as 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. It is nonetheless exciting to read this passage. Verse 24 reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Some confusion has resulted in the minds of Bible students due to the translation weeks in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined. The Hebrew word so translated does not mean a week of days, but rather a seven. Like the English word dozen, meaning 12 of anything. What Daniel actually said in Hebrew was 70 sevens are determined. While Daniel was thinking that the consummation of 70 years exile, according to Jeremiah's prophecy, will usher in the Messianic kingdom, God rather revealed what would happen to Israel in 70 times 7 prophetic years hereafter. A new day indeed was coming when Messiah shall judge the sinful earth and bring in righteousness. But not until 70 times 7 prophetic years had passed. This is to say that God was telling him it would not take 70 years, but 7 times 70 to consummate his saving work with Israel. This was a cryptic way of saying 490 years. Let us look in detail at this revelation of the 70 weeks on Jerusalem. Roman numeral 1. God's messenger to Daniel. God's messenger to Daniel. A dog walks into the telegraph office and tells the clerk to send a telegram. He tells the clerk to send the following message. The telegraph clerk tells the dog, "There's no additional charge for two more words. Do you want to add a couple more?" The dog thought for a moment and answered, "Wouldn't that sound a bit redundant?" A friend of mine once sent me a postcard with a picture of the entire planet Earth taken from space. On the back it said, "Wish you were here." Well, my friend wished I was in space with him. So just as the dog sent a message through telegram, and just as my friend sent me a message through a postcard, God sent Daniel a message. But he did not use telegram or postcard. What did he do? A man got a call from a nurse who said, "I have some bad news and some terrible news from the doctor. Which would you rather hear first?" The man said, "The bad news." And the nurse said, "The doctor messed up your tests, and when he redid them, he found you only have 48 hours to live." And the man exclaimed, "What could be more terrible than that?" And the nurse replied, "He tried all day yesterday to get hold of you, but your phone was busy. 48 hours left to live." And so just as the nurse was the doctor's messenger, Gabriel was God's messenger to Daniel. Verses 20 to 23 reads, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of their supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision.'" The messenger to Daniel was Gabriel, whom Daniel recognized from a previous vision, Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. At this first meeting, Gabriel had told of God's future indignation of Israel, Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. Daniel may have wondered if future indignation meant that God would not release the captives after the 70 years. Would he continue to punish them because they continued to sin? It is appropriate that Daniel should be informed by Gabriel of God's future timetable for the Jews with the promise of explaining the message. Gabriel showed the importance of this message by admonishing Daniel to understand and consider the matter. Verse 21. By the way, look at verse 20 again. What do we learn from the fact that Daniel confessed personal sin to God? That even very godly people have sin to confess. No one is exempt from confessing their sins because everyone sins. Roman numeral 2, God's message for Daniel. God's message for Daniel. The ensign approached the captain of the ship as the captain was dining with his leading officers. The ensign reported that the captain had received a message from the admiral. The captain told the ensign to read the message aloud. The ensign did as he was told and read, "You idiot! It looks like you have bungled another mission. You're a poor excuse for a captain." The captain paused for a moment and responded, ensign had that message decoded immediately. So the original statement was a code, not to be taken literally. So just as the admiral had a message for the captain, God has a message for Daniel in verses 24 to 27. This passage reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Take note. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the prince, the Messiah, until the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Verses 24 to 27 are exceedingly important, for it gives the timetable for God's future dealings with Israel. These verses tell precisely when Messiah will be present in the world. They tell of his crucifixion, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the Great Tribulation. The period involved is 70 weeks. Literally, as mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, this is 70 sevens. One must determine from the context if these so-called weeks are weeks of days, weeks, months, or years. The only explanation that makes sense of the text is that these are 70 weeks of years. 70 times 7 years, that is 490 years. The people involved are the Jews. The place involved is thy holy city, verse 24, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, verse 26, that is the temple. 6 things are to transpire within this time frame. That's A, to finish the transgression. To finish the transgression. Israel's transgression, verse 11. Israel's transgression against God's rule will end. Scripture teaches that Israel will turn to the Lord by the second coming of Christ. That's B. To make an end of sins. To make an end of sins. This refers to the daily sins or the ways that they express their transgression. Letter C. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To make reconciliation for iniquity. This is a clear reference to the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. Letter D. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To bring in everlasting righteousness. When Christ returns the second time, he will establish his kingdom, which will be a righteous kingdom. Letter E. To seal up the vision and prophecy. To seal up the vision and prophecy. This means that the prophecies concerning Israel's sins and judgments will be completed or fulfilled. No further punishment will be due Israel because the sin problem will have been cared for. And finally, letter F, to anoint the most holy. to anoint the Most Holy. When Christ returns, He will cleanse and anoint the area upon which the millennial temple will be built and filled with the glory of the Lord. Cross-reference this with Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 4. Now stay with me. The 70 weeks began at the time of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, verse 25. This would have greatly excited Daniel. This decree involved the building of the streets and the wall. Artaxerxes made this decree in 445 BC. See for yourself Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 8. The 70 weeks are divided into three units. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. The first unit of 7 weeks ended apparently when those who returned to Jerusalem fulfilled Artaxerxes' decree to build the walls. The second period of 62 weeks plus the first 7 weeks extends until Messiah the Prince. That is, the first 69 weeks ended with some event in the life of Messiah when he was present on earth. And this event is possibly the triumphal entry in Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 38. Jesus implied in Luke chapter 19 verse 42 that the Jews should have known the significance of the day of his entry into Jerusalem. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the day which belongs unto thy peace. A careful study of Daniel chapter 9 would have alerted the Jews to expect something on this day. Question. How can we show that the first 69 weeks possibly ended with the triumphal entry? How can we show that? The triumphal entry was on Nisan the 10th because the gospel accounts have the triumphal entry coming 4 days before Nisan the 14th Passover crucifixion day. Nisan coincides with March to April on our Gregorian calendar. To show that the first 69 weeks possibly ended with the triumphal entry, we have to show that the first 69 weeks ended in the period March to April. We also have to show that the first 69 weeks ended in 30 to 33 AD. Because scholars have provided estimates for the year of crucifixion in the range 30 to 33 AD. I mentioned earlier that Artaxerxes made the decree in 445 BC to restore and build Jerusalem. Why do we start from 445 BC? This is calculated from the part of the passage in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. In the Encyclopedia Britannica sets the date of Artaxerxes' succession as 465 BC. So his 20th year in that verse would be 445 BC. And the month was Nisan. And since no day was mentioned, according to a practice common with the Jews, the date would be taken as the first of Nisan, the Jewish New Year's Day. In our calendar, that date works out to be March the 14th, 445 BC. This is the beginning of the 70 weeks. Now, in order to find the end of the 69 weeks, that is, the end of the 483 years, the years must be reduced to days. as one day in Jewish reckoning is 360 days. If you look at Revelation chapter 11 verse 3, not 365 days. Okay, we now arrive at this equation. 483 years times 360 equals to 173,880 days. Beginning with March 14, 445 BC, these 173,880 days lead us to April the 6th, 32 AD. Here's how it works. 445 BC to 32 AD is 476 years. Why? Because BC 1 to AD 1 is counted as 1 year. 476 times 365 gives you 173,740 days. But you need to add for leap years, which is actually 116 days, three less in four centuries. What do I mean by three less in four centuries? To add for leap years, we divide 476 by 4, which gives us 119 days. However, in our present Gregorian calendar, year numbers evenly divisible by 100 are not leap years, except those evenly divisible by 400 remain leap years. So 300 BC, 200 BC, and 100 BC are not leap years, and we should subtract 3 from 119 days, hence the number 116. Moving on. March the 14th to April the 6th is actually 24 days inclusive, and the total is 173,880 days. April the 6th, 32 AD is now fixed as the end of the first 69 weeks. Not only have we tagged the crucifixion year, but we've intercepted it in March to April. We have landed our 173,880 days right in the very time period of the triumphal entry in the year of 32 AD. You can take a photo if you like. This is Sir Robert Anderson's computation, by the way. It's not mine, but it's amazing. Let's move on. After the 62-week unit that followed, the first 7-week unit, the Messiah. I repeat, after the 62-week unit that followed, the first 7-week unit, the Messiah would be cut off, verse 26. That is, the crucifixion was to follow the 69th week. Thus, there is an undetermined gap of time between the 69th and 70th weeks. In fact, Gabriel predicted that the destruction of the city and the sanctuary would take place after the 69th week. This is a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which took place in AD 70. The latter part of verse 26 refers to the extensive degree of destruction which Jerusalem suffered. Although the Jews warred long and hard, the terrible desolations predicted did occur. Now, the 70th week is the future 7-year tribulation that will be fulfilled after the rapture of believers. During this time, the Roman beast, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 verse 8, will rule. Here he is referred to as the prince, small letter p, who is yet to come. Verse 26. But he is associated with the people who destroyed Jerusalem. Historically, we know that the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. Hence, this prince to come is a Roman. He was not present when Jerusalem was destroyed because he belongs to the future revived Roman Empire. The events of the 70th week follow. Number one, the confirmation of the covenant will be made by this Roman ruler for 1 week or 7 years. Verse 27. The prince will make a treaty with the Jews, promising them peace and safety. Number two, the cessation of the sacrifices and temple worship will follow when the beast breaks his covenant in the midst of the week. Verse 27. Number three, the corruption of the sanctuary will follow the breaking of the covenant, as there will be desolation performed by the beast. He will do some despicable deed similar to what Antiochus did when he defiled the temple. Only worse. He may erect a detestable statue in the sanctuary and will deify himself in the temple, demanding worship. Revelation chapter 13 verse 15 talks about the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And Revelation chapter 13 verse 12 says that the earth and them which dwell therein will be caused to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Are we surprised that Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel? No. We saw 2 weeks earlier that Antichrist is powered by Satan, and Satan is unfaithful in all that he does. Matthew chapter 24 verses 15 to 16 warns Israel to flee into the mountains when this event takes place. The event signifies the beginning of the great tribulation, severe persecution upon all Israelites and all believers. At the time Daniel received the message, the temple was desolate. Verse 17. The temple will be rebuilt by some of the first Jewish people to return from captivity. Ezra chapter 3 verses 1 to 6. One of the final acts performed by Christ during his first advent was the cleansing of the temple in Matthew chapter 21 verses 12 to 13. That temple was destroyed by Rome in AD 70 and will be rebuilt for use in the tribulation, verses 26 to 27. The completion of the desolation will end the 70th week, verse 27. That is, God will end the reign of Antichrist when Christ casts him into the lake of fire at his return. So God's messenger for Daniel and God's message to Daniel, I would like to close by asking you this question. Given the parts of Daniel's prophecy that have already transpired, how much faith do you have that the final week will take place? God has a program for Israel which has never been rescinded. Much of it has already been fulfilled, but there are portions yet awaiting fulfillment. These yet unfulfilled prophecies will be fulfilled just as literally as those that have already been fulfilled. The Jews do have dreadful days ahead. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. But the nation of Israel also has a glorious future ahead as she finally receives all that God has ever promised, all wrapped up in the salvation provided by her Messiah. It is nearer than you think.